Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 11:6. And we were talking about first things first. I know we've been talking about it for about five sessions. So this is part six. Well, how long are we going to stay on it until God says it's finished? And I'm not in a hurry. I want it all. You want it all? Tell your neighbor, say, I want it all. Hebrews 11:6. This is in the J.B. Phillips translation, or J.B. Phillips New Testament. Says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. First thing you have to realize and understand is that God is. Not God was, not I think he might be. You got to have this thing settled that God is. And the second thing, it's just like, to me, it's like the other scripture where the second is like unto it. That it's worth a man's while to try and find God. It's worth your while in the midst of whatever it is you're going through to find God. And you're gonna understand that more in about 20 minutes. Matthew 6:33, King James Version, echoes that previous statement in Hebrews. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, how are you going to seek someone that you don't believe exists? There's this first thing, seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. You don't have to wonder, why is this person blessed and I'm not? Yet they're seeking after the kingdom. You're seeking after what they have. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things. If it's another category of thing, all these things shall be added to you. Now, there should be some comfort in that, because if it's going to be added, it means God knows you don't have it right now. God knows that you don't have it right now. But it doesn't bother him. You know why? Because he has plans added to you. He has plans added to you. And you're saying, but when? That's why you're not seeing it. You'll get to that. I'll get you to understand that in a minute. And reading that in the Passion Translation, I uncovered another nugget. The Passion Translation says, so above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. All these things that you wear in God, you're burning up God's ears. Well, not burning up, blowing up. Like, say, you blowing up my phone. You're blowing up God's ears. Asking for things, Father, things. So they'll be added to you in abundance. That's right. Yes, they do. If you seek me first. First, not after you're all worn out from begging for stuff. Say, all right, God. When am I going to have it? But it starts out saying, above all. That's what it says in the Passion Translation. So above all. Above means above anything, above everything. You say above all to indicate that what you are mentioning is the most important. Out of everything that could be important, this is the most important thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. Doesn't say seek ye first your healing. Doesn't say seek ye first your finances. Doesn't say seek ye first my children listening. says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means we have to acknowledge God before anything else, no matter how severe it may seem. Honor God first. That's what it's saying. Honor God first. God considers anything else less important. So he's telling me it's more important to seek me first than to fall on your face and pray for someone's healing. Understand that. It's more important to seek first God's kingdom. Pastor, that sounds a little harsh. Do you want to pray correctly? Do you want your prayers to be answered? Do you want your prayers to be effective? Then you better go to Father and find out what is it that you need to be praying. Seek ye first the kingdom. But now listen to this in the Johnston paraphrase, and as they say, props to the tech team because they got a lot of scriptures today that are not normally in our text. In the Johnston paraphrase, it says, again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Listen to this part. Do not keep asking, what are we going to eat and what are we going to drink and where are we going to get our clothes? All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. When your focus is on stuff and things and not God, you are unaware of God's presence. You're unaware. Why? Because as the scripture tells us, well, let me finish this one first. Let me finish this. You are unaware, who are unaware of God's presence. I can assure you that your Father, comma, the source of all your being, comma, is aware of your physical needs. Jesus is saying, I can assure you that the one who created you knows what you need. He said, I can assure you of that thing. You are, because I can assure you, you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and settling all your relationships right. And settling all your relationships. And that's not just your relationships with people. It's your relationship with God. Get them all settled, because if your relationship with God is not settled, you will be unaware of his presence. And you will think you are out there by yourself. Then he says, when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. You can be walking through a mess maze. If you seek first God's kingdom, if you walk like you are aware of God's presence, that mess maze will take care of itself. And think about what we just read. When we give attention to circumstances, we say, wow, my arm, it's been bothering me for 3 weeks. Catherine, we've prayed and prayed and prayed. I don't know what's going on here. What? You're worshiping. You're worshiping the circumstance. You're giving out. I've tried everything and nothing seems to help. This thing, it got a grip on me. You're worshiping the circumstance. You're worshiping the circumstance. How long do I have to deal with this thing? You're worshiping the circumstance. How come God blessed them and he didn't bless me? You're worshiping circumstances. And when you're worshiping the circumstance, you are totally unaware of the presence of God. You're unaware of it. You're too concerned. I want this. I want that. I want, I want, I want, I want. You're worshiping the circumstance. You're giving glory and honor to the circumstance. You might as well go to the car dealer and bow down to that new car. Oh, I'm believing God for you. Oh, yes, Lord, yes. I know this is your will and your way. Oh, yes, Lord, yes. You're worshiping the circumstance. Unaware of God's presence. Not remembering that he said, when you get things in the right perspective, all this stuff will take care of itself. We forget those things. And we have to start remembering. I got to change the schedule on my iPad. It cuts off too quickly. Okay, now I want the password. When we give more attention to needs and circumstances, we are unaware of God's presence. And here's the big, huge, gigantic problem with that. Psalm 16. Verse 11, King James Version. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. Listen to this. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Here's the problem, folks. You're unaware of God's presence because you're focusing on stuff and things. So how can your joy be full? It says, in his presence. If you don't know you're in his presence, your joy won't be full. There's a secondary issue with that. The joy of the Lord is my... And if I don't know, if I don't have... If my joy is not full because I'm not aware that I'm in the presence of God, not only am I weak spiritually, I'm weak physically, I'm weak emotionally, I'm weak financially, I have no strength because I have no joy. And I have no joy because I have no clue that I'm in the presence of God. Because I'm too busy bowing and worshiping circumstances. And not realizing that my heavenly Father, the one who created me, already knows what it will take to keep me. He already knows. And he had his son, our Savior, tell us, because I already know, you keep seeking my kingdom and my righteousness first. I know about all this stuff. How do you know? I created it. This continued quest, this is Matthew 6:32 in the Johnson paraphrase, this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. That means all you're thinking about is what's going on in your life that you don't like. All you're thinking about is what you want. All you're thinking about is what you don't have. Continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. If we are aware of God's presence, we're not concerned about any other thing. All that's important is his presence. And you don't have to wonder, is God there? Look at Hebrews 13. Passion Translation. Don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. Don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have, for you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you, never. And I will not loosen my grip on your life. That means I'm going to keep holding it all together. So we can be absolutely sure that we're always in God's presence, and it does not matter if it doesn't look like it, sound like it, or feel like it. We are always in God's presence. Because if we were not in his presence, and that means he left us. He said, I will never leave you. I used to think that if I ran off course, he wasn't going to be there. He's running right with me. What are you doing over here, boy? You belong back over there. He's still not going to leave me. He said, I will never leave you. Not only will I never leave you, I won't even relax my grip on your life. On your life. He holds it all together. The presence of the Lord is always right there with you, no matter what. And when you are aware of his presence, you will always have fullness of joy. Matthew 6:33, again in the Johnson paraphrase, you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. And when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. Let me tell you why I took the time to go over that. There's like a rite of passage to receiving from God. I'm going to read it the way God said. There is, if you will, a rite of passage to receiving. This rite of passage, if done properly, will usher in the kingdom of God moving on your behalf. How many of you would like that? You want the kingdom of God moving on your behalf? Amen. I know you didn't raise your hand because you were writing. Okay. Well, look at Exodus 34. King James Version. For thou shalt, verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. In everything that crosses our path, we're to give God worship. See, worshiping God is believing that he is. Worshiping God is believing, it's saying that I believe God is. And he deserves all of my worship. Worshiping God, listen to this. Worshiping God puts you in a position where you don't even have to ask for anything. You don't have to ask for anything. Your worship is an act of faith. And we know the only way to please God is what? with faith. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We read that in Hebrews 11. So what is worship? I remember when John Bevere was here some years ago, he put up a slide that said, worship is not a slow song. Okay, let's bring it down a bit in worship. No, worship is reverent honor and homage paid to God or a sacred personage. That means while worship, God designed worship for him, you can worship other things. It's reverent honor to any object regarded as sacred. So when you're worshiping your circumstance, you're saying it's sacred. It deserves my full attention. No, it doesn't deserve any of your attention. But it hurts. Yeah. Now what? Are you going to continue to worship the pain? It's a formal or ceremony or ceremonious rendering of such honor. Worshiping is giving religious reverence or homage to something. It's feeling an adoring reverence. There's some people that if they wake up in the morning, I'll say it this way, that ache has become their friend. There's a program I would sometimes watch. I heard that. It's about this dermatologist called Dr. Pimple Popper. And people come on that program and they have lumps out to here. And they've had it so long, they've gave it a name. And they refer to it as, it's going to feel strange not having my friend there. Because they've been used to having it. That becomes an object of worship. They buy clothes to fit over it so that it's comfortable. Worship. But for the believer, it's honoring God. And when we fail, this is what God said, when we fail to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all of our relationships right, when we fail to be aware of God's presence, we are depriving God of the worship he deserves. And if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping a circumstance. You're worshiping a need. You're worshiping a want, a desire. You're talking about how great the need is, how bad the sickness is, how the devil is running amok. It's misplaced worship. When we first anything, the first thing we need to do is worship God. In spite of everything you're going through, worship God. Psalm 100 in the Passion Translation. Lift up a great shout to Yahweh. Go ahead and do it. Everyone, everywhere. Worship Yahweh with gladness. Sing your way into his presence with joy. If you know you're always in his presence, you should always be singing with joy. And realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping Yahweh, our God. He's our creator. We belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For Yahweh is good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you. So kind it will astound you. He's amazing. He's astounding. And he's famous for his faithfulness towards all. Everyone knows, and you're the only one that can put yourself in this group called everyone. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promise to every generation. You are to give, according to Matthew 6:33 in the Johnson paraphrase, first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. When you get the proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. So my question to you is, how do you know when you've gotten the proper perspective? How do you know? It must be important because the word says when you have the proper perspective, these things will take care of themselves. I'll tell you how you know. When you come up, yeah. You stick your foot toward me. When you stand toe-to-toe with the circumstance and not back down, and standing toe-to-toe, you're like, Father, you're just so good. You're just so wonderful. And the circumstance is pushing you, it's pulling you, like, oh, you're so good, Lord. Your mercy endures for 1,000 generations. You're standing toe-to-toe, and you're not giving an inch, and you're not giving it any worship, because as far as you're concerned, doesn't even exist. Thank you. It doesn't even exist. But the symptoms are there, so what? The symptoms are supposed to be there because its purpose is to separate you from your omega. He doesn't want you to reach the expected end. He wants you to have an end, but not the one that's expected. And you have to stand toe-to-toe, not asking God, not pleading with God, not begging God, but worshiping God. Worshiping God. Watching an episode of Andy Griffith, and there was this bully that was taking Opie's nickel every day. And Sheriff Taylor, Opie's dad, told him a story about what happened when he was younger, dealing with the bully. And he said to him, you won't even feel it when he punches you in the eye. And when Opie stood up to him, he closed his eyes and said, Dad, I hope you were telling me the truth. When we worship God, we're not saying, Dad, I hope you're telling me the truth. We're saying, I know your word is truth. And I worship you, Father, for the truth of your word. And you don't care what the bully has to say, because the same word from the same one said, I will always cause you to triumph in Christ. He will always, you're not doing my push-ups. Got to work out. I got to get ready. You have to do none of that. Your heavenly Father knows. And when you get your priorities right, he'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you can do that, when you can act like the circumstance is not even there, you know you've gotten things in the proper perspective. You're just worshiping God. I love this. I love this. When you do that, when you get things in the proper perspective, you don't even have to make a request. Why? We read it earlier. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. So since he already knows Why have to ask him? He already knows. You believe he is? Then you believe he already knows. You believe he's a rewarder of those who will continually give him worship? Then you already know that he already knows. And you can walk around with joy. People think you're crazy. Here they watch. Look at the look on their face. You're just walking around. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're so good. You stop in the supermarket. Thank you, Lord. You provide for my every need. People say, move away from them. No, you want to get closer. Your heaven, say, my heavenly Father knows what I have need of. See, so there's no need to set aside our worship to start asking for stuff and things. Because that's what we're doing. We're asking instead of worshiping. And all we need to do is worship him for who he is. Turn to Acts 16. I'm going to move quickly through this because I'm running out of time. This is the account. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can read it all on, you know, later. This is the Passion Translation of Acts 16. This is about Paul and Silas when they encountered a young slave girl had an evil spirit of divination called the spirit of Python. And she had earned, listen to this, she earned great profits for her owners by being a fortune teller. Folks are looking to make great profits from you, and to do so, they had to get you thinking about other things than the kingdom of God. There's a whole lot in that statement I'm not going into. Paul says in verse 17, she kept following us shouting, these men are servants of the great high God, and they're telling us how to be saved. Day after day, she continued to do this until Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit indwelling her, I command you in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, to come out of her now. At that very moment, the Spirit came out of her. Hear this part clearly. When her owners realized that their potential of making profit had vanished, the world realized that if I tap in to the Christian community, there's a great opportunity to make profit. And he came up with stuff and things to take our worship off God and onto other things. Why? For profit. For where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And when the world realizes that it ain't working anymore, they're going to be upset. They forcefully seize Paul and Silas and drag them off to the city square to face the authorities. What had they done wrong? Didn't say everyone rejoiced that the woman that was in bondage was now free. No, their potential for making profit was gone. So they got mad and threw the Christians in jail. When they appeared before the Roman soldiers and magistrates, the slave owners leveled accusations against them, saying, these Jews are troublemakers. Well, they weren't Jewish, they were Roman citizens, which lets us know that people will make judgments about you not knowing who you are. You don't have to go along with it. I don't need an organization to tell me I'm black. I don't need that. All through my life, People have been telling me what color I am. When I was growing up, they told me I'm not a color, I'm a Negro. So if you called me a color, I had to punch you in the mouth. Then a few years later, you're not a Negro, you're brown. You're colored. So now if people said to me, you're a Negro, I had to punch him in the mouth. Then a few years after that, it said, you're not colored, you're black. So now if you call me colored, guess what I had to do? I had to punch him in the mouth. And I'm looking, I'm like, I'm not black, not white, I'm not red, no green. I knew who I was then, and I knows, I know that's not correct English, but I knows who I be now. And I don't need anybody telling me who I am, what I am, or what color I am. Don't tell me I don't see color. You're lying. Because if I say to you I live in a blue house, you're not going to go up to a green one. I told you I was going to cut up today. I gave you fair warning. It said, these Jews are troublemakers. They're throwing our city into confusion. They're pushing their Jewish religion down our throats. It's wrong and unlawful for them to promote these Jewish ways, for we are Romans living in a Roman colony. It's wrong for you to tell me that God says this lifestyle is not what pleases him. No, I'm not going to conform because that's what seems to be the majority. I'm going to worship God. And leave that other stuff to him. A great crowd gathered and all the people joined in to come against them. The Roman officials ordered Paul and Silas to be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare back. I can hear believers now. Kill them, Lord. I'm your servant. Father, please, this hurts. I've done nothing. I did what Jesus told me to do, and now look at what's happening to me. You're worshiping the circumstance. You're not worshiping God. Verse 23. After, say that means it already took place. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound with stocks. Now think about it. What do you think happens to your back when you're severely beaten with rods? It's laid open. It's bloody. There's sores. You're in a jail with vermin, with insects, that's dirty and grungy, and you're in stocks, so you really can't even move. And God, somebody has to do something about these wounds. God, this isn't right. All I did was what Jesus said. He said, I can cast out devils, and that's all I did. And now look what happened to me. No, they didn't say that. What it says, look at verse 25. Paul and Silas, undaunted, means not moved for a moment, prayed in the middle of the night, and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Severely beaten, thrown in prison, and they think, we got to worship God. Not embarrassed by what happened, singing out loud, worship to God. Everybody in the joint heard them. Nobody said, will you shut up? I'm trying to get some sleep. No. You know why? They found the worship comforting. Yes. I believe that their hearing that worship gave them a sense of hope. Because they saw the condition of those two men, Paul and Silas, when they were dragged and thrown into the cell. They're like, whoa, I'm not going to do what they did. And they hear them worshiping. Worshiping. And it's midnight. In those days, midnight wasn't the party hour. Everybody's in bed because they were up so early. Now, what were Paul and Silas doing? They weren't complaining. They weren't begging. They weren't doing anything like that. All they were doing was worshiping. That's it. They didn't ask God for deliverance. All they did was worship. The scripture says, when you have your priorities right, these things will take care of themselves. That's what we read in Matthew, right? Suddenly, while they were worshiping, a great earthquake, not a little earthquake, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. All at once, every prison door flung open, and the chains of all, I saw that, Father, I'm going to say it, the chains of all the prisoners were loosed. Father just told me, when you worship, not only will you be free, but anybody around you will also become free. When you worship, not only will you be free, but everyone around you will also be free. This earthquake was so great, didn't disturb any other building in the town. A great earthquake. No one felt it except the prisoners and the guards. A great earthquake shook the building, the prison. Didn't dislodge one wall, one stone, nothing. All it did was cause the doors to open and the chains to fall off. They never prayed for deliverance. All they did was worship. They had their priorities right. First of all, above all, they sought the kingdom and the righteousness associated with the kingdom. And what they needed was added. What they needed was added to them. The prisoners, so stunned, but they're keeping their eyes on the cell that housed Paul and Silas, because they were going to do whatever Paul and Silas did. You would think, especially after you've seen someone beaten as severely as they were beaten, your chains fall off and the doors open, you're looking around, you don't see guards, you in the wind. They didn't budge. Why not? Paul and Silas didn't budge. If they can worship God and God can do this, I'm going to see what else God does. I'm not going anywhere. Startled, the jailer awoke, saw every cell door standing open, and did something that you never want to do. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. What we do is we assume that the circumstance is so great, we give up. We give up. You might as well take the sword and kill yourself. But Paul and Silas said, no, we're still here. We're still, as a matter of fact, what he said was, don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. Then the jailer called for a light. He saw that it was still in their cells, and he rushed and fell trembling at their feet. Then he led Paul and Silas outside. He led them outside. Part of the circumstance led them to safety. God will work all things together for your good, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. He led Paul and Silas outside and asked, what must I do to be saved? They answered, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all your family. And the jailer took them to his house. Cleaned. They never said, okay, now that we got you saved, you want to take care of our backs? No, they never mentioned it. The jailer took them home, dressed their wounds, and fed them. And was willing to let them go. But in the morning, the magistrate, still unaware that there was an earthquake, unaware that all the prison doors opened. I thought it was amazing. The Bible doesn't talk about any call for all the prisoners escaping, which means they had to stay there. I would too. If that's a place I see with miracles, I'm not going to be in a hurry to leave either. But when the magistrates, the town officials, when the morning came, they sent word, let them go. And Paul said, you're not going to let us go secretly into the darkness. You brought us in, you lead us out. Why did he do that? For the people to see a demonstration of the power of God when you worship him. How do people know? You think that jailer wouldn't tell anybody? When they notice a change in his personality? Folks, I'm telling you, and I can't tell you any better than the scripture. When you let God be the source of all of your worship, every other thing will take care of itself. God is saying, you give me the worship, I'll give you the stuff. But don't worship him because you want stuff. The object of Paul and Silas's worship was not getting out of prison. It was, you are God, and we believe it. And everything we did, the reason I cast out that devil is because you're God. And I believe it's worth my while to go after you. So in every situation, I'm going to do just what you said. Lay hands on the sick, lay hands on the sick. We were at a memorial service yesterday. I was officiating a memorial service. At the end of the service, I saw this lady walking by, you know, struggling with a cane, and God said to me, lay hands on her. And so he could feel his cane, and we laid hands on her. She said, thank you so much for listening to God. And we told her that the power of God went into your body. It's going to affect the healing and the cure. Whether you feel it now or later, but you're going to feel it. We weren't trying to be, Thus, the pastor of Redeeming Love Christian Center put his hand forth. No. I think if I did that, I'd have collapsed. I said, no, God told me to lay hands on you and pray for you. And she, I said, is that okay? She said, oh, yes, thank you. And then she was, thank you, Jesus, as she should. The jailer and all his family were filled with joy and their newfound faith in God. Folks, Paul and Silas never prayed that they would be arrested. They never prayed for justice, vengeance, or protection. After they were savagely beaten, they never prayed for healing or relief from the pain. Why not? They knew that their Heavenly Father knows what they have need of, so they gave their Heavenly Father worship. Out loud. Not, what are the prisoners going to think? They're going to start laughing at me because I'm telling God how great he is and I got these stripes on my back. I'm in prison. Talking about I'm free in the Lord. That's just silly. No, that's just faith. And if you dare to worship God, you'll experience the same thing. They knew the Heavenly Father knows what they have need of. So if you once you become comfortable with that, you give your first priority to the spirit dimension. And really, when I think about that, when I give first priority to the spirit dimension, there is no second priority. How can it be a second priority if my first priority is always the spirit dimension? What do we think? It's okay, worship, complain, cry, you know. No, once you worship, that's all you want to do. There is no next. It's worship God. Well, you're worshiping, something else comes up. Worship God. You worship God. Something else, you just worship God. You left God just so good. You are the Alpha and Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. That's why we can worship him. You have to be aware of God's presence. And in the midst of some trying circumstances, you're going to have to forget about them and worship God. Let God be the source and object of your worship, and everything else he will make sure will take care of itself. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. Thank you for the word that made us free this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We repent, Lord, that we've allowed, that there have been times where we've allowed ourselves to get sidetracked. We thought we were doing it right. We were praying about the circumstance, but we didn't know we were doing it instead of giving you the worship that you deserve. We didn't understand that when we worship you, you'll take care of everything else. So we thank you, Lord. Because we're going forth from this place with a different attitude. We will always be aware of your presence. Because we are not of this world. We are not of this world. Just like Jesus is not of this world. And we thank you that we are new creatures in Christ. We are creatures of worship, of just worshiping you for who you are, worshiping you because we belong to you. Worshiping you because you're always in our presence. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope you got something from that. He is our Alpha. He's our Omega. He's in the middle. He holds it all together. All we have to do is worship. I'm not saying, and I never said, and I'm not saying, that trying circumstances are not going to show up. What I am saying is, in the midst of that, worship. Worship. And that trying circumstance will take care of itself. One translation says it'll take care of itself as a matter of course. There are two ways to look at that. Me being me, I need to look at it. God, you're going to take care of this? Of course.
Yes. Yes.
So I may not like it, but I don't have to concern myself with it because I have a sure word from my Father who created me. My Father, who's the source of my being, has said, get my priorities in order. Worship. Get myself right with others. And all these other things will take care of themselves. Praise the Lord. In order for you to have that type of attitude, it requires one thing. Remember, we started off reading, without faith, it's impossible to believe God, for the one who comes to God must first believe that he is. You have to first believe that God is. And if you believe that God is, then you have to believe that God had a son, Jesus. And you have to believe what the son said. The son said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except by me. That means even our worship has to be in Jesus' name. We say, well, how do I get to the Father? Oh, the Bible tells us it's so easy. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. It can't get any easier than that. So if you're here or if you're out there, I'm going to ask us all to make a very short confession. We're going to confess that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And we're going to ask him to come into our heart, and he is. What am I going to feel? Peace. You're not going to feel pressure on your heart if someone's drilling their way in. You're going to know by faith that you asked and God answered. Say, Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And after 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my life. Come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I ask you, make something new of me. And it's your name that I pray. It's that simple. If you're online, type, I did it. If you're in the room, raise your hand. If there's anyone in here, just raise your hand. If you're out there online, you see the contact us information, please contact us. We have some free information we need to, want to, desire to send to you. I don't see anyone standing or waving at me in here. But I want you to know that if you have any questions about what the Holy Ghost shared with us today, use the same contact us information. And I promise I'll get back to you. As I say often, may not be the same day, but I will get back to you. Or Pastor Red, but one of us will get back to you. Guarantee it. Remember, worship belongs to God and God alone. And when you worship God, when you make it your priority to worship God, no matter what is going on in your life, He'll take care of it. You won't have to come through your list of requests. Lord, I need, 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 Lord. Because He already said, when you get your priorities in order, all these things, all this stuff, all this mess will take care of itself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.